This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Keep calm and carry on. Keep calm and blog on. Keep calm and call mom. The slogan, conceived to boost the morale of Britons on the brink of World War II, has been adapted for everything from crafting to escaping zombies. It exploded onto T-shirts and mugs after a pair of English bookshop owners discovered one of the vintage posters in a box. The internet took it from there. Henry Irving wrote an article about the origins of the famous phrase for the conversation and joins us to explain how the formula promoting a stiff upper lip rocketed to worldwide fame. Henry, thank you for joining us.
Oh, that's quite right. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Tell us the story of the discovery in Northumberland of the Keep Calm and Carry On poster.
Yeah, well, it's a very interesting story, actually. It's two antiquarian bookshop owners in a very small village called Alnwick, which is a very pretty village in Northumberland in the northeast of England, came across one of the posters almost by accident at the bottom of a box of books that they'd bought at an auction. And they seemed to have come across this, weren't really sure what it was, but liked the design so much that they decided to put it up in their shop. And they soon had so many people asking them about the provenance and about whether there were copies available that they started producing their own versions. And really, the popularity of the poster grew from there.
Well, what is the provenance of the poster?
The poster itself was designed in 1939. It was designed as part of a series of three posters, which would be issued by the British government if war were to be declared. So this was part of wider preparations for the Second World War. The thing about the poster, though, which is, I suppose, quite interesting, is that it wasn't actually displayed during the war itself. Most of the copies were destroyed, and only a couple have survived, and it's one of those copies that they found in the box.
It was never used then. Why?
There's quite a lot of confusion about this, and one of the issues that we've been looking at in our current historical project on the Ministry of Information is trying to understand why certain materials were made but never used. And the thing about the Keep Calm Carry On poster is that the tone was never seen to be quite right. So there were a lot of fears that this was not the right message, that it wasn't the right time, and that it simply wouldn't be heeded by the British public.
What do you mean the tone was not right? I mean, now it seems to symbolise everything absolutely British. You know, keep calm, carry on.
Quite. I think this is one of the really interesting paradoxes about the poster, because it says so much about that sort of British sense of restraint, that almost sort of stiff upper lip attitude. But during the preparations for the Second World War, it was seen almost to be, it was seen as being quite impersonal, quite passive. And actually, the public was seen to be wanting something much more active, something which would allow them to really get involved. And it was those questions that really led them to decide not to issue this poster when war was declared in September 1939.
To our ears now, or our eyes now, it may seem very, I don't know, Orwellian in a way, you know, reinforcing behavior by means of a poster.
Yeah, quite. And this is really one of the issues that's at the heart of our project. So the Ministry of Information that was responsible for the Keep Calm and Carry On poster, this was the ministry that gave George Orwell the inspiration to create the Ministry of Truth in the novel 1984. So there are those real Orwellian overtones throughout a lot of this work.
Okay, so the tone wasn't quite right by the wartime government, but isn't that exactly what makes it so applicable to so many other uses?
I think so. And certainly as we've been doing research into the poster and thinking about the way that it's become such a sort of cultural icon in recent years, it's the fact that it can be sort of turned to so many different uses that's really helped with that. I mean, the design is obviously important. The fact that this is all text, that means that it's very easy to manipulate. But then in terms of its actual, the tone, the tempo and the way that it sounds, it can be very easily manipulated by people, applied to a whole range of different products and different scenarios.
Henry, you mentioned that it was one in a series of posters. What were some of the other sayings or slogans?
Well, to begin with, Keep Calm and Carry On was designed as one of three posters. The first read, "Your courage, your cheerfulness, your resolution will bring us victory," which is quite a mouthful.
Cheerfulness leads to victory. Interesting.
That's quite right. And then the second was, "Freedom is in peril, defend it with all your might." The first, which was the Your Courage poster, that was again criticised for being quite impassive and also for almost enforcing a class distinction between your courage and our victory. Mm. And then the Freedom is in Peril poster was seen as being far too academic, too abstract. Again, didn't really give people anything to latch onto. Mm-hmm. So both of them were quite notable for being a flop.
And as if Britons wouldn't be courageous and cheerful as it was.
And that's quite right. There was a real fear that people would be angry that their courage was being doubted, angry that they were being told what to do by a government in London. And I think it is really important to bear that in mind. This is an era when mass communication was coming to the fore, but there was still a bit of a hesitancy and still a real disdain for anything that could be labelled as propaganda.
There was a copyright battle over the design beginning in 2011, so I guess a full decade after its discovery. Who does own it?
One of the really interesting questions that we've still not been able to completely clear up. Now, anything which is produced by the British government is officially covered by Crown copyright. One of the interesting things about this poster and many of the others is that because they were produced almost in secret by a quasi-government department, there's a lot of questions over whether Crown copyright actually applies. The British government don't claim ownership of the poster. They see it as being in the public domain. But the copyright battle was almost sort of precipitated by that because it meant that the rights were almost up for grabs. So when the poster was rediscovered in 2001, you had two competing claims for ownership. I think the UK courts decided that nobody owned it, but the situation in Europe and also in America was slightly more contested, which led to that very fierce copyright battle in 2011 to 2013.
Do you have any favourite variations on the phrase?
Oh, that's a very difficult question. I think my favourite variation is probably the sign that I used to pass on my way to work that said, keep calm, order signage. I think it's just so abstract that it's probably my favourite version.
What was that for, like an engraver or something?
It was for an engravers, yes.
It just rolls off the tongue. Henry Irving, what a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Lovely to speak to you. Thank you, Virginia.
Henry Irving wrote an article about the almost lost slogan, keep calm and carry on, for The Conversation. You can find a link to read the original article and see some of our favorite variations on the phrase. That's at wordofmouthradio.org.